Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. My message to you today can be summed up in the words, handing down but looking up. You will hear me repeat these just a few times, and I hope that you'll take them away with you into the weeks ahead, following the beginning of Lent this coming Wednesday. And his clothes became whiter than white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. No amount of laundry product advertisements could ever match those words from our gospel reading, which immediately put paid to the fact that whatever we do as mere mortals will never match up to God's excellence in all things. He is, was, and ever will be dazzling. The account of the transfiguration that we have just heard marks a complete change of form or appearance of Christ into a more beautiful or spiritual state. It's one of the five major milestones in the gospel narrative of the life of Jesus, the others being his baptism, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And of all the significant figures in the Hebrew scriptures, why was it Moses and Elijah in particular who showed up here with Jesus? A popular theory is that Moses represented the Jewish law and Elijah represented the Jewish prophets, and there is to be a handing down but looking up. It's significant, too, that both Moses and Elijah encountered God in their own lifetimes on a mountain. When Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, his face was shining with the glory of God, just as Jesus is now shining with that same glory. But when God's voice from heaven said about Jesus, "Listen to him," that indicated that both the law and the prophets must now give way to Jesus, who will replace the old way with the new way. He is the completion of the law and the fulfillment of the prophecies in the Old Testament. It was a handing down, but looking up. It's symbolic that as Jesus meets with Moses and Elijah, that they spoke of his departure. Both Moses and Elijah had experienced dramatic departures. Moses had led his own departure of Exodus out of Egypt almost 15 centuries earlier and had provided bread or manna in the wilderness to the Israelites, just as Jesus miraculously provided bread for the multitudes in the story of loaves and fishes. As far as Elijah's departure went, we heard in our first reading from 2 Kings that he departed this earth in a flaming chariot. But even that was still nothing that will match up to our Lord's impending crucifixion and departure. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him to the top of the mountain and was transfigured before their eyes, they had a communal experience that would ultimately help them grow into full, faithful discipleship, even if they couldn't explain it. It was crucial that this happened because of what was to come. This handing down but looking up. I don't think what happened on top of that mountain could be explained as such, but I don't think that makes it any the less meaningful. Certainly, many of the episodes we read about in the Bible seem beyond our human reasoning and explanation. But aren't many of our most formative, transformative, life-changing experiences not explainable in the worldly sense? Worship and faith, I think, is another experience that cannot be explained as such, but is part and parcel of our participation amongst our community to help build our human, spiritual wholeness. We have a handing down but looking up. We too are all on a learning curve with information being passed down, just as Elisha learned how to be a prophet from his mentor Elijah. He learned how to be faithful from being in a relationship with Elijah and the whole company of prophets. So when the mantle was passed, Elisha was ready not to go out on his own, but to go back into the midst of God's people as a servant of the Lord. A handing down, but looking up. Elisha not only needed his mentor Elijah, but he needed the people as well, if he was to be whole, if he was to be the servant God intended him to be. God's voice affirmed Jesus as his beloved son, emphasizing his divine authority, his glory. As disciples of today, we too must recognize who our mentors are so that we can draw others to the divine authority of God, so that together we can help dismantle barriers and promote God's kingdom on earth as we continue that handing down but looking up. Peter, James, and John were instructed not to reveal what they'd witnessed until after Jesus' resurrection. We have to learn when to speak and when to be silent. Jesus didn't at this point want the transfiguration explained to others as sensationalism. It was as a personal message for the three apostles. It was about gaining a vision of Jesus and his divinity. And this vision should clarify for us too exactly who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and how he helps us see everything else more clearly in God's time and in our handing down but looking up. Maybe we should further reflect on his relationship to Moses and Elijah. Jesus is now the prophet who stands head and shoulders even over these two prophets. He fulfilled their words, but proclaimed an even more expansive vision of divine grace and mercy and glory than they foresaw as he envisaged that handing down but looking up. This is echoed in a verse from our opening hymn. O prophets, faithful to his word in matters great and small, who made his voice of justice heard, now crown him Lord of all. And surely we cannot but highlight Jesus' resurrection and the way in which it sheds light on everything else. That has to be a dazzling white experience. The light of Easter morning to come is ultimately the only light in which we see Jesus completely clearly, and it does explain everything. The risen Lord will help us see his victory over all. It gives us a vision for new life in service to others, It opens our eyes to the eternal life that is ours by grace, and importantly, the risen Lord helps us see that we do not need our human frailty to see and understand everything perfectly here and now. As long as Jesus is a dazzling white figure in our lives, we can get by for the time being, as one day we shall see him and understand clearly face to face. We too have, with both those prophets of old and the apostles, received a handing down but looking up. Alleluia to that. Amen.